Hi, I'm Hannah Romney, and I'm here with Clark Marshall with CM Ceramics. How are you doing, Marshall?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And so today I'm going to talk about plates and bowls that you make for with CM Ceramics. I've heard a lot about them, and I've seen you work and throw, and I'm very impressed with it. So I just wanted to ask you a few questions.
Of course.
How'd you get into ceramics?
So, it's kind of how most people do, is through my high school ceramics class. It was kind of a rite of passage at my high school. Pretty much anybody who went to Timpview High School in Provo, Utah, took Andy Watson's ceramics class. He was kind of this eccentric and philosophical sort of hippie potter, and it was a great experience as a high school student to have somebody challenge your intellect as well as teach you a really cool craft. So kind of I had older brothers take the class because they went to the high school, and so when I got to be a junior to where I had electives and time to take classes I wanted to, I knew it was going to be something I was interested in. I didn't think I'd turn it into a career necessarily right away anyways, but that's how it turned out. So that's how I got my start.
And is he also the person you apprenticed under?
No, he didn't really have a need for an apprentice. He spent most of his summers sort of fishing and hunting, and he's a very generous guy, so any sets he was really making or, you know, dinnerware or anything like that were typically for friends and family. And I took it from there to college. I never did a proper apprenticeship. I studied at Utah State, which is probably one of the top 10 schools for clay in the nation. It's had a long 50-year tradition of, so that's where my teacher went, actually, so I'm sort of Utah State pedigree as far as ceramics are concerned. So I did my last 2 years of college at Utah State, and I technically didn't even major in ceramics. You can, but I did enough art history to get into graduate school for art history, but I was around the studio and in the studio and around some really productive and now very successful graduate students, as well as just sort of being involved in the wood firings and stuff they do up there. So that's that.
What made you decide to do plates and bowls? Because I know you've done many bottles and bigger vases.
Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the marriage of two passions. I grew up wanting to be a chef. You know, Saturday mornings I'd watch, you know, I had a choice between cartoons or PBS cooking shows, and I'd always watch the cooking shows on PBS. And when I turned 16, my first job or two in as a 16-year-old, you know, getting a proper paycheck were in restaurants. And I very quickly realized that the lifestyle of a chef was probably not for me. For one, it was very stressful. The chefs I was working with at the time were some of the less agreeable people I've ever known, and I thought, if this is the lifestyle, then it's not for me. I'm trying to sugarcoat it, but you know, it wasn't fun for a 16-year-old, and I'm an artist, and I'm emotional, and so being in the heat of the moment like that and getting yelled at for half the time I didn't even know what I was getting yelled at for was a bit too much. So I very quickly sort of said, love cooking, I'm going to continue to do it, but you know, I don't want to do that as a career. So fast forward 10 years, I'd finished graduate school, and I'd always had this sort of pipe dream of almost becoming a ceramic designer, where I'm working with chefs and coming up with ideas and getting ideas from chefs and designing their plates. And I grew up in Utah, and Utah is not known for its culinary culinary endeavors, at least up until about 10 years ago. Truthfully, me and my family are foodies. If you wanted a decent plate of food, the closest place you could get was Vegas. So we often traveled for the sake of eating better. You know, I won't name names, but any of the restaurants in Salt Lake at the time were really not worth eating at. Or we'd go all the way to California, or when we travel to Europe, we'd always pick out nice restaurants in Europe, but Utah just wasn't the place. So the idea of marrying those two passions was kind of a distant pipe dream, if only because Utah just wasn't the place for it. But again, a couple years back, I got I was a server, and I got a job serving at Forage, which is a nationally recognized restaurant, recently closed here in Salt Lake. The chefs kind of went their separate directions, and they're both on to different projects now. But at the time, the chef that was in charge of the restaurant, I could tell he was interested in the idea of having handmade plates. And, you know, I was more concerned with being a server there because I wanted to be around that type of food. And this really, what they'd call it in France, they'd call it haute cuisine, but it's tasting menu. It's really high, elevated culinary craft. So, but unfortunately, if you're going to be at a restaurant that changes two or three dishes a night, you have to be there every night. And so that was their expectation of their employees, and I didn't. Was not able to do that and teach at the same time, as I'm a full-time educator as well. So I only lasted a few weeks before I realized just like logistically it wasn't going to work in my schedule. But I pulled, his name's Bowman Brown, I pulled Bowman aside on the way out, so to speak, and we'd ended on good terms. And I just sort of said, hey, I've always really wanted to do this for a chef, and I see that you've got a few, you know, a few sets of some handmade pieces there. And I think I basically said that I felt like I could give him a better product. So I said, you know, give me a month or two, and I came back a month or two later with a handful of pieces that I thought he would like, and he's not a super emotional guy. I had a hard time reading him when we were doing the interview, and he just sort of smiled and smirked and said a few good things about him, and he just said, yeah, let's do it. These are awesome.
Yeah.
And I didn't know at the time that meant I was going to do probably 14 or 15 sets for his entire restaurant. And I initially just thought that was sort of a one-time deal. There's better food in Utah now, but I just didn't think people were going to be really interested in it. But on a national level, it's become a trend. I hope it stays because it's turned out to be a really good business for me. But, that's essentially how the story began. And I think I'm up to around 9 or 10 clients. Most of them are here in Salt Lake or Park City. But that's sort of how the story starts.
In a set, is it just a plate and a bowl and a smaller salad plate?
Sure. When I'm dealing with... initially, I wasn't trying to tap into a private market. So I was really doing essentially custom sets for chefs. And when I say set in that context, I mean it was, you know, anywhere from 15 to 30 of the same size plate with the same color clay, and you try to get them to match. I mean, when you're dealing with handmade, they're never always going to look perfect. So when I say 15 sets, it's going to be 15 different, for that restaurant in particular, it's 15 different types of clay, shapes, bowls, etc. Last summer, I started selling publicly again at the local farmers market, and I just realized that there's enough people out there that are interested in dinnerware sets. So now I offer dinnerware to private clients. Again, I don't think a restaurant would ever be interested in like a dinnerware set like this, but that's going to be your entree plate, a salad plate, a bowl, and then a bread plate. So most of my sets, unless they're custom, the ones I sort of make ahead of time for clients to be able to look at and purchase on the fly, they're sets of four.
So I understand, I've seen you put in, and I've seen you make the clay and put it in the kiln, and then you glaze it, and there's a whole process to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have to do to make it so that plates are edible? You can put food on them without people getting sick. Is there a special technique that you have to do? Is there special glazes that you have to use?
So as far as food safety is concerned, the big one, which they still, when they're importing, you know, hundreds of thousands of plates from factories in China and even Mexico. The big no-no, obviously, is lead and lead-based glazes, because acidic foods can actually leach minerals out of the glaze. But lead anymore is almost a controlled substance, so I don't have to worry about the lead. There's a handful of heavy metals like manganese they tell you to be careful of, but the bottom line is, once you reach the point of what they call vitrification, where all of the molecules in either the glaze or the clay, and you know, technically both at a high temperature, as long as they're melting and fusing together, it's really hard for toxic minerals to leach out. That said, I do avoid minerals like manganese and barium and things like that that can be damaging I do a lot of raw clay, which is just where you take clay to a high enough temperature that the clay itself begins to melt and fuse on a molecular level. It has a little bit higher absorption rate than, say, a glaze, but I think there's a misconception there. Everything on planet Earth has an absorption rate. Even a plastic bowl is going to absorb a little bit of water, at least, if not bacteria. So it's really just if you reach that point where the clay or the glaze is fusing to where it's no longer absorbing, or conversely, you know, leaching out minerals. So I think that's something in our society we've sort of gotten away from. I have a lot of people ask me that. Are these safe in the oven? Are these safe in a microwave? And the only difference between what you buy at Walmart and what you would buy from me is that I'm making it by hand. They're essentially the same ingredients and typically the same temperatures. They might not be quite as strong because they're not compressed. The industrial pottery is usually compressed with about 60 tons of pressure. But I make them a little more robust and a little thick so that they're more durable. But as far as food safety, it's pretty much on par with anything you would buy at the store. Again, I just have to avoid a handful of ingredients when I'm intending them for public use.
As you said about the farmer's market, you know, these people are wanting sets for their dinner plates at home and their dinnerware. So is it just like the farmer's market that you sell them to that would be the best place to reach you if they wanted to get a set plate?
Yeah, so farmer's market in downtown Salt Lake City, starting the first weekend in June. That's on Saturday mornings. Sunday all day, I think it's from 9 to 5, would be the part, what they call the Park Silly or the Park City Sunday Market. That's going to be this summer as well. And then I have an Amazon page where I'm slowly getting inventory up or trying to get inventory up. And if anybody's interested in custom work, it would be just a direct email, which you can find on either my Instagram page. You can IM me on Instagram or cmceramicart.com has contact info there. And so if we're doing something a little more custom, it's usually I'm working with the client one-on-one. So,
are your clientele really diverse? Is there a lot of diversity? Are there more higher-end clients that want a lot for bigger restaurants, or is it just more mainstream everyday person living at home?
When it comes to restaurants, they're usually higher priced and we'll say less affordable meals in the sense that, you know, this isn't like an afternoon burger. These are usually, you dress up nice and this is something you'd maybe go to before an opera or something like that. So it has a tendency to be restaurants that value the way food is presented, which typically means the food itself is going to be very, very good. The private clients I have kind of range in Salt Lake, honestly. You know, even the younger generations are a little bit more willing to spend money on handmade things. And I don't know. Park City, I know, is a different clientele, so I'm sort of looking forward to seeing how that goes. But I'd say people that are settled in their sort of careers and houses and so forth that actually want to start adding to their sort of decor and things like that, they're generally people that are sort of, you know, I guess in their careers established.
What do you use at home? Do you just use store-bought or do you make all of your...
You know, embarrassingly, up until very recently, being a bachelor where I'm rarely home, I was kind of a paper plate, red Solo cup kind of guy. But I started eating off some of my plates recently because I had a few kicking around the apartment. And it's just, there's something a little bit more honest and this is going to sound kind of hippie, but there's something a little more earthy about it. Something a little more, it just feels a little more grounded to be eating out of something that was handmade. I don't have a habit of buying other potters' plates, but again, if I have an extra couple of pieces from a set that didn't get sold or used, I'll use them at my house nowadays. So that's kind of been a nice little transition, I guess. Be less of a consumer, more of a creator, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me about your plates.
Of course.
And I look forward to seeing your work in the farmer's market.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.